Thank you, Gary, for doing our reading this morning. Well, are y'all about sick of COVID? I'm about sick of COVID. I think I've had enough of that. I think we've been dealing with this for almost 2 years now in some form or fashion. But it is good for everybody who is here today. We're so glad to see everyone who is a part of our services. If you are visiting with us, please fill out a visitor card. We would really like to have a record of your being here today. I'd like to send you a thank you letter and tell you about some of the things that we're doing here at this congregation, and certainly encourage you to be back with us. Ray, it's good to see you and Sheila out today. Ray's been struggling a lot with his throat. He's had a lot of throat problems over the past years, but anyway, he's getting a little bit better and having trouble walking around some too, but we're glad he's back. And Bill is back, and so many others are also, and we're very glad for that. Joyce is healing up after her procedure. We're glad for that also, and hope and pray all of that continues. Please stick around just a few minutes after services are over. The elders want to talk a little bit more about these things that you see around the front of our building here, different ways that you as an individual can be a bigger part of the work of reaching out into this community through spreading the gospel or handing out things to kind of welcome people into our community, or putting brochures up in area businesses. Just a lot of ways that we can increase our exposure and help introduce people to the gospel of Christ. And fill out those forms and stick around afterwards. We'll talk a little bit more about that. The passage that Gary read for us just a few moments ago is one of the many passages we have in our New Testament that talk about that God is expecting the church to be active and involved in this world. Going back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the last verse of what Gary read for us, there Paul by inspiration writes, "For we are His workmanship," that's by King James translation, "we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein." Now, most Bible translations where my King James uses the word workmanship, most Bible translations also use that same word, workmanship. One Bible translation uses the idea of masterpiece, "for we are His masterpiece created in Christ Jesus." This phrase, as it appears in the original language, is a beautiful and expressive passage that really, it doesn't have an exact English equivalent. Translators try to get close to the idea of this word, but there's not really an exact way to put it in the English terms, because what the word literally means is "that which has been made." For we are His that which has been made. It doesn't make a lot of English sense, but it's very expressive in the original language, and it's a phrase that describes God having specially crafted the church for a particular function, a specific role that God has in mind for the church. And the idea is that God, as He was framing the church and planning for the church, God decided that the church was going to be doing a certain thing in this world. And it's really a beautiful word picture of like a craftsman who is intending to make some object or maybe some tool, and he's crafting that tool to do a particular job or an object to do a particular thing, and it is the only thing that can do that particular job because that's exactly what it's been made for. And so it's a very, very beautiful word, and it gives to us the idea that God has formed the church to do something that nothing else can do. And the reason nothing else can do it is because God formed the church to do that. Now, that's how this word appears in general terms here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. But if we be very specific about all of that, what we can find is that it has His workmanship. God has created the church to be doing the works that are discussed within the Bible. And those works involve things like evangelism, things like edification, things like benevolence. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. We're going to do this under the title, "The Church as God's Masterpiece." And the idea that God specifically created the church, He formed the church to be involved in the work that He's given it to do within this world. Now, let me say this as we sort of open our time up and get into things this morning, particularly due to recent events. And that is just this. COVID or not, the church is still the only method God uses to get His work done in this world. COVID or not. Now, COVID's horrible. It's tragic. It's awful. We've been dealing with this for some time now. All of our families have been touched in varying degrees from what COVID has brought into our world. But brethren, we must not let COVID stop the work of the church. We must not let that happen. COVID has not stopped Walmart, has it? Last time I looked, the parking lot's busy down at Walmart. It's not stopped Walmart. It's not stopped Exxon. People are still filling up their cars. It has not stopped people going on vacation. It has not stopped things that are taking place in normal civic activities. COVID has not even stopped the dollar store. Brethren, shame on us if we let COVID stop the church. We have to be aware of our opportunities around us, whether COVID is here or not. And I want to share with you this morning that, church, if we do not evangelize, then we will fossilize. We will fossilize. If we do not edify, we will calcify. If we do not practice benevolence, if we do not practice pure religion, undefiled before God, James 1 and verse 27, if we do not do that, then, brethren, we have no religion. And we don't have time to wait and see if COVID is going to go away or if there's going to be some new vaccine that is going to fix everything for us, or a booster or a mask or more distancing or things like that. We don't have time for the opportunity to wait around and see what's going to happen, for life to return to normal, because for all we know, this may be our new normal. But whether it is or not, what we cannot do is let the church be hampered by what's going on within our world. And so what I want to tell you is that COVID has changed how we evangelize. We're going to have to find different ways to reach out. We're going to have to be imaginative about how we contact other individuals with the gospel. COVID has changed how we evangelize, but it must not change that we must evangelize. COVID has changed how we build up the church, how we go about the business of strengthening one another, but it must not change that that's what we are doing. We are strengthening the church. We're doing that work. And COVID has changed how we take care of widows and orphans, James 1, verse 27, and those with needs. It changed how we go about doing that. But it must not change that that is what we're about. That is what we're doing in this world, because that is what God has crafted us to do. And brethren, if we stop doing these things, if we stop the work of evangelism, if we stop the work of building up one another, if we stop the work of serving one another, if we stop doing those things, then we stop being the church. The church is not just a collection of people that comes together and meets on the Lord's Day morning for worship and comes for Bible studies on Sundays and Wednesdays. We're not just the church because we meet. We're the church because we're doing what God has given the church to do. Now, I'm not saying that worship is not important. It is important. It's vitally important. I'm not saying Bible study is not important. It is important. We have to be doing those things, but we also have to be doing those things that God has created us to do. Those things God has created the church to do. And what those things are is evangelizing, serving others, and taking care of the needs of those who have needs among us. And so let's start this morning by looking at the churches within the New Testament and see what it is they are doing, how it is they're going about accomplishing being His masterpiece in this world, what they're doing, and then apply that to our own selves. And I want to start with the church in Jerusalem. Now, most of the time, maybe when we think about the church in Jerusalem, in our minds, we're going to Acts chapter 2 because that's where the church began. And in Acts chapter 2, we do see that taking place. We see the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. But you may be aware we have an entire letter in our New Testament that was written to Jewish Christians, most likely the church in Jerusalem. And that letter is the book of Hebrews. So turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, or else just take notice of what I'm going to be putting on the screen for us to consider from that book. And what I want you to see from Hebrews chapter 3, this letter written to Christians in Jerusalem, that Paul begins to give them, if he be the writer of Hebrews, some commands that they need to be aware of. Here is one of them in chapter 3 and verse 12, where the writer says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, based upon that warning about departing from the living God, he's going to give them a command. He's going to tell them something that as a church they are to be doing. And here it is in verse 13. And in verse 13 he says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Notice the command, please, "but exhort one another." Exhort one another. Now, you've probably used that word 5 times a day already, haven't you? Well, probably not. We don't talk in those kinds of terms. But the word doesn't mean anything more than encourage or build up or strengthen. So let me, from this passage, bring to you the thought that what God has specially formed us to do, what God has created the church to do, is to build the body. To build the body, to encourage the body, to strengthen the body. We are here for the mutual benefit one of another. And I want you to look very carefully at that passage of Hebrews 13, or Hebrews 3 and verse 13, because there's a lot of important information. First of all, I want you to notice through this word that I've highlighted that this passage is telling us what we are to be doing. And what we are to be doing, what God created us to be doing, is to exhort one another. To exhort one another. Now, the word means to build up. It means to courage. It means to encourage or to strengthen. So it tells us that's what we're to be doing. It tells us who we are to be doing it to. And that is one another. That is you looking out after your brother, your sister in Christ, to see what way you can build them up or strengthen them or be of assistance to them in some way. So we're to do the business of exhorting. That's what God has called us to do. We're to do that to one another. He tells us how often we are to do it. And that is daily. You do this every single day. The writer writing to the church in Jerusalem, here is something you need to be doing every single day. Here's what God has created you as the church, as a member of the body of Christ, to be doing every single day, to exhort one another. And then he tells us this as well, and that is why we are to be doing this, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So this passage gives us a lot of information. It tells us what we are to be doing. It tells us who do we be doing it to, how often we are to be doing it, and why we are to be doing it. And what we need to understand is that God has created the church. He specially formed the church. We are His workmanship for the very reason of exhorting one another. So, here's what we do. Call somebody. Call several somebodies this week. Make sure you reach out to some Christian every single day of the week. Make you a list. Put that list on your refrigerator or some prominent place. I'm going to call so-and-so today. I'm going to text so-and-so today. I'm going to get on Facebook and reach out to so-and-so today. Make sure every single day you're doing this. Because your contact to that Christian may be exactly what they needed. It helps to know that someone is thinking about you. That someone cares. That someone is interested. That someone is concerned about the situation that you're in at that particular moment. Exhort is the command we're given. Encourage, build up, strengthen us. All of us need to take it upon ourselves to look around the congregation and just ask some simple things. Like, well, who's missing today? Who is struggling? Who is sick? Who's recovering from surgery? Who is about to have surgery? Who is homebound? Who is maybe not as faithful as they once were? Now, it will take a little time to do this. It's going to take a little time to call somebody or send somebody a card or reach out to them through Facebook or some other means. It will take time to do all of this, but the time is worth it. The time is worth it for what it does to build up and encourage and strengthen someone else. And if you've never done that before, take the time to do that. Every single day, be calling somebody. Be strengthening somebody for that reason. And for those of you who are doing this, you are already sending cards. You're already reaching out and sending texts and talking with people in various means. You're doing exactly what God has called the church to do. You're doing exactly what God has formed the church to do. And you're an encouragement to all the rest of us. Because that's what God has called you to do. To be an encourager, to be an exhorter, to be a builder-upper in your work in this world. Sometime take a little opportunity to look at the close of Paul's writings to the various congregations that he brings letters to in our New Testament. The book of Romans is a beautiful example of this. And you read the book of Romans, the last chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16, and you go through that chapter and you will find many individuals mentioned by name that Paul is talking about, and he will say, we'll greet this person or salute this person. And then he will talk about someone else and he will say, salute that person. Or he will tell someone, you greet somebody else. Paul was great at encouraging community. He was fabulous at establishing a connection between individuals so that they could be strengthened and built up and be doing a better job of doing just exactly what God has called them to do. And he even encouraged people he didn't know. Paul will say things in some of those closing parts of his letters, you greet the church that is at their house. Well, did he know all of those members of the church at their house? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But he said, you take the time to reach out to them. You take the time to connect with those individuals, the church that is at their house, or the church that are with them. Maybe he knew them, maybe he didn't, but it didn't make any difference. Paul was good at developing a sense of community. And you and I have got to do that. You and I have got to become better and better and better at developing a sense of community in which we are our support system. We live in a world that is against the values of God, that is against Christianity, and that is doing its dead level best, I'm convinced, to tear down Christians and Christianity. And if we are not exhorting one another, if we are not building up one another, brethren, we can't rely on the world to do it. We've got to do it. It's what God has called us to do, to be exhorting one another. God especially crafted the church for that specific purpose, so that every single day we're doing what we can to help encourage some brother or some sister in Christ. And your contact, your outreach may be just exactly what they're looking for. We are God's masterpiece for that very reason. And we are God's masterpiece for another reason as well. We go to the book of Hebrews, we read about the church in Jerusalem, or at least Jewish Christians, and we read the instructions that were given to them, and that instruction is, you strengthen one another every single day. God created you to do that, to encourage, to exhort one another. We go a little further around the corner, and we go up to a place called Antioch, in Acts chapter 11, if you were to turn there in your Bible. And in Acts chapter 11, we read a continuation of the events that actually started back earlier in the church. And what we find the church doing in Acts chapter 11 is the church is reaching out to the lost. That's what congregations of God's people were doing, and that's what we have to be doing. We have to be encouraging one another every single day. We have to be reaching out to the lost every single day. Well, here's Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, where the Bible says, now those which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. Now that's an extension. That's an extension of Acts 8 and verse 4, where there your Bible tells us that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And so when we get up here to Antioch, what we find is that's what the church is doing. The church is evangelizing. The church is teaching the word. The church is preaching to those round about it. We're up in a place called Antioch, a predominantly Gentile-type part of the world. And what this verse is identifying for us is that because of some of the persecution that started back in Jerusalem, the church has left that area. The predominant influence of the abundance of Christians is moving out of that place. And they're going all back to different places. And one of those places is Antioch. And here in Antioch, what we find the church doing is reaching out to the lost. Now, the evidence of that is in verse 21, and in that context. And so here we find in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 20 that they were preaching the Lord Jesus. That's what they were doing. Verse 19 says they were preaching the word. When you're preaching the word, you're preaching the Lord Jesus, aren't you? When you preach the Lord Jesus, you're preaching the word. It's the same thing. And now here's the result of them preaching the word. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Do you ever wonder why that was happening? Why was there a great number believing and turning to the Lord? Well, it was because of what we find in verse 21. And that is because, or verse 20 rather, that is because they were teaching the Lord Jesus. Now look at this verse with me again for just a moment. And we find in verse number 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Everything about this verse is so very important. Notice please, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." The Lord is keeping His promise. Remember, the Lord made a promise back in Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 20. He said, "And I will be with you always. I'll be with you always." The Lord is keeping His promise. The hand of the Lord is with them. And then look at this phrase as well. "And a great number believed and turned to the Lord." The order of that statement is so very important. You see, believing precedes turning. No one will turn until they believe. And no one will believe until they hear. Well, that's what the church in Antioch is doing. They're making sure that people, excuse me, get the opportunity to hear. They're teaching the Lord Jesus. They're preaching about Christ. They're letting people hear about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in this world. And the result of that is that believing is resulting in turning. People are hearing the gospel who have never heard it before. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 says they taught much people. They taught much people. Well, much people are hearing because much people are being taught. Well, what is the result of teaching much people? Go back to verse 24. Verse 24 says about Barnabas, "He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added to the Lord." Brethren, here's what we cannot miss. Much people were being added to the Lord because they're doing much teaching. They're doing much teaching. How much teaching are we doing as a congregation? How much teaching are you doing as an individual member of the body of Christ? You see, the same thing has got to happen here. That's what God has specially created us for. He's created us for not just coming and sitting and listening to Bible classes and attending worship services. He's created us for the purpose of being His spokesman in this world. The church has got to be doing the very same thing. We're going to have to start carrying the gospel into places that you've never taken it before. Let me tell you something. If you never before have invited someone to church services, then do that. Do that this week. Invite someone to church services. On that post-it note that you put on your refrigerator of excuse me, of people you need to encourage, put on that same note a list of people that you need to reach out to with the gospel. Let them know that you're thinking about them and you're willing to teach them and let them know about Christ. If you never before have left a tract, a bulletin, or a CD with the person behind the counter who checks you out at the grocery store, or the person who loads your lumber at the lumber yard, or the person who does your hair, then do that. Do that. Reach out to them in some way and let them know about the gospel of Christ. Because you see, God has specially formed the church for exactly that reason, so that we might exhort one another and so that we might reach out to the lost. And Acts chapter 11 is a very beautiful passage that lets us know about that. Now let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further around the corner. And as we go around the corner, we see that the church has spread abroad and is preaching the Word of God. But as we keep on going up past Antioch, we go into another congregation of God's people, a Gentile congregation, the congregation at Colossae. And what we find the church at Colossae doing is that they are serving saints with needs. And we read about here a Christian by the name of Epaphras. Epaphras was such a wonderful example of a Christian. He was a member of the church at Colossae. And we'll read about him in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Here is verse 13. Paul writes of Epaphras, "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them that are in Hierapolis." And if we combine those two verses with what you find in Philemon, verse number 23, excuse me, what you will find is that he is with Paul and he's ministering to him while Paul is in prison. He's detained. Paul is being his minister there while he is detained. Epaphras is one of those individuals who every time you read about him in the New Testament, he is serving somebody. Every time you read about Andrew in the New Testament, Andrew's bringing someone to Christ. Every time you read about Barnabas in the New Testament, Barnabas is encouraging somebody. Every time you read about Epaphras, Epaphras is serving somebody. In fact, Paul will say that he has a great zeal for you. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 13. A great zeal, a great interest in you, a great determination for your well-being. And he was zealous for the church. If everyone in the church was zealous like Epaphras was zealous, the church would be a different place. From the time of creation forward, what God has done is he has provided a culture of community for man. Not a culture of isolation, a culture of community where the church serves one another. And that's exactly what we find within the church. The church is that place that God has specially formed. We are his workmanship. We are his master creation for the purpose of serving one another. Look sometime at the early church. The early church was so very good at this. So very good at serving one another. We find that in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Where it says that all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and good, and parted them among one another. And you see it again in Acts chapter 6, where the church is serving one another. Now, brethren, this morning I hope what we've been able to do together is see that the church is God's masterpiece. The church has been specially created by God for a specific function. It's to do something that God has prepared nothing else to do. And what that something is to be about the business of his work in this world. And that work is doing those things that we've been talking about just this morning. That work is serving the saints. That work is building up the body. And that work is reaching out to teach the lost. And what I want to say to you again this morning is that we are only the church if we are doing those things. If we are not doing those things, then, brethren, we are not the church. We are not the church that we ought to be until we're involved in the works that God has given us to do. We are specially created by God for exactly that purpose. Now, this morning, if there's some way that we can help you with that in your life as a member of the body of Christ, that you need to adjust how you're doing things in this world, and maybe we can pray with you and pray for you. We'll be very glad to do that this morning. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you've not yet made that decision to become a New Testament Christian, then we'll help you with that as well. And so if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation right now, as together we stand and we sing, why don't you come and let those needs be known. Let's stand together, please. When we